Access more.
Glorious day, fellow traveler. Welcome to Science and God with Dr. G. That's me, Dr. Michael Gillen, physicist, astronomer, mathematician, and Christian. That's right, living, breathing evidence that science and Christianity are not mortal enemies, but good friends. Actually, an awesome power couple. What is a miracle? You know, the big question people always ask and argue about is this: do miracles exist, or are they just figments of our imagination? It's an important question, of course, but here's the problem with it. What exactly do you mean by miracle? If we can't agree on the answer to that basic question, forget about it. We'll never agree on whether miracles exist or not. Look, as a scientist, when I sit down to solve a problem, I'm trained to define my terms before doing anything else, all right? So today, that's what we're going to do here in this journey. We're going to define what a miracle is. We're going to ask, what qualifies something to be a 100% 24-karat gold bona fide miracle, all right? For starters, the word miracle comes from a Latin root that means to wonder, as in awe and wonder. Now, according to the Oxford Dictionary, a miracle is, quote, a surprising event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws, and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency, end quote. According to Merriam-Webster, a miracle is, quote, an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs, end quote. And according to dictionary.com, a miracle is, quote, an extraordinary event that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause, end quote. As you can see, all these definitions and many others boil down to this: a miracle is something amazing. It's something you don't see every day. A miracle is something baffling. It's hard or downright impossible to explain naturally. And finally, a miracle is something celestial. It's caused by some agent that's not of this world. I call these three criteria the ABCs of miracles, right? They're events that are amazing, baffling, and celestial. With that definition in mind, my friend, it's easy to see that everything we experience in life, everything from birth to death, falls into just three categories. First, the mundane. You know, something is mundane if it's not amazing, baffling, or celestial. For example, you know, the sun rising in the east and setting in the west, or a coyote chasing a rabbit, or a cork floating on water. All of these experiences are ordinary and predictable. That's why I call them mundane. Second, the mysterious. You know, something is mysterious if it's baffling and sometimes even amazing. For example, an unsolved crime, or a magic trick, or the origins of the universe, the origins of everything, in fact. These mysteries are hard to figure out, even for really smart people. Third category, the miraculous. According to our definition, something is miraculous if it's truly amazing, baffling, and celestial. For example, Jesus being born of a virgin or rising from the dead. If true, these things are not mundane and they're not merely mysterious. They're downright miraculous. Here's an interesting thing. The Catholic Church, more so than science or even the Protestant Church, is famous for rigorously investigating miraculous claims. Amazingly, the Vatican runs an entire department devoted to the subject of miracles. It's called the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints. Don't you just love that name? The Dicastery for the Causes of Saints. Anyway, the Dicastery relies on the judgment of many different kinds of experts, theologians, of course, but also historians, scientists, and even a medical board. What's their definition of a miracle? Well, it's given in the Modern Catholic Dictionary. Quote, "A miracle is a sensibly perceptible effect surpassing at least the powers of visible nature produced by God to witness to some truth or testify to someone's sanctity." End quote. Wow. It's a pretty complicated sounding definition, right? But really, it just boils down to what we said before. A miracle is something that's amazing, baffling, and celestial. Now, the Dicastery organizes miraculous claims into very distinct buckets. For example, miraculous healings. Now, these claims involve people on death's door who suddenly, without treatment and against all odds, fully recover. Boom. Then there's miraculous images. These claims involve statues and paintings that inexplicably start crying or bleeding or actually moving. Then there are miraculous stigmatas. These claims involve people who, without any explanation, suddenly suffer open wounds to their hands, feet, and torsos. Then there are miraculous incorruptibles. Now, these claims involve deceased people, usually saintly people, whose corpses or individual body parts resist aging in a very mysterious way, a way that cannot be explained by normal embalming processes. Then there are miraculous apparitions. These claims, quite simply, involve ghost-like appearances of a deceased person, usually the Virgin Mary. Now, in most cases, the Dicastery takes years, that's right, years, to thoroughly investigate a claim. After that, it announces one of three possible verdicts. Verdict number one, not worthy of belief. This means the claim is not supported by enough reliable evidence to be taken seriously. In effect, the Dicastery is saying that the claim is mundane. Verdict number two is nothing contrary to the faith. This means that the evidence is inconclusive, so the claim might or might not be valid. Furthermore, it means there's nothing about the claim that conflicts with the Bible. That's very important. In effect, the Dicastery is saying the claim is mysterious for sure, but not necessarily miraculous. Verdict number three is approved. This means the claim is supported by enough reliable evidence that it indeed qualifies as being a miracle, and therefore is worthy of being believed. Now, as I said, the process is all very rigorous. But here's the thing. None of this rigor will ever satisfy hardcore materialists, right, who adamantly oppose the very idea of a celestial realm, the all-important C in our definition of miracle. For them, there's only the mundane and the mysterious. That's it. That's all there is to the entire universe, the mundane and the mysterious. And even then, they're convinced that anything mysterious has a perfectly natural explanation. All right, let me give you some quick examples of what I'm talking about. First, the Lady of Zaytun. From 1968 to 71, crowds of people reported seeing multiple apparitions of the Virgin Mary outside a Coptic church in Zaytun, Egypt, which is a district of Cairo. TV and newspaper reporters, along with many bystanders, actually recorded the glowing figures. And when studied, none of the recorded images showed any signs of being doctored. Also, local police searched the entire area and couldn't find any projection equipment or other suspicious activity. You know, even after the streetlights in the area were disconnected, they went that far, the sightings continued. Materialists have a hard time explaining this one away. The best they can say is that the apparitions were probably caused by earthquakes, faraway street lamps, or by exploding high-voltage transformers. Seriously. All right. Second example, the boy named Luke. In 1998, a four-year-old Colorado boy, a preschooler named Luke Burgee, couldn't eat very much because there was something terribly wrong with his little stomach. For six long, excruciating months, Luke suffered violent bouts of diarrhea 8 to 10 times a day. Ouch, can you imagine that? Poor little guy. Anyway, doctors examined Luke from head to toe, and they were baffled. You know, they prescribed antibiotics and put the little guy on special diets, but nothing worked. In fact, Luke's condition just kept getting worse. Desperate, the poor mother asked two nuns for help. And for 9 straight days, those two nuns prayed for little Luke to be healed. On the morning of the 9th day, right when the nuns completed their prayer vigil, Luke woke up and told his mom he felt completely well. Now, get this, the dicastery investigated this event for 14 long years, 14 years. They interviewed everyone involved, including Luke's doctors, who testified that nothing they did could possibly explain what happened. In the end, the dicastery approved the claim. They declared it to be a bona fide miracle. Materialists don't have a ready explanation for what happened, but they do insist it must be a case of spontaneous remission or the delayed effects of something the doctors actually did. Third, the flying saint. During the 17th century in southeast Italy, a Franciscan priest named Joseph of Cupertino became famous for levitating during periods of religious ecstasy. According to one report, and it was one of many, during a mass when Christmas carols were being sung, Joseph soared into the air and knelt in prayer right before the entire congregation. Now, after years of investigating this claim, the dicastery approved it as a genuine miracle and declared Joseph to be a saint. Materialists claim that Joseph was only leaping into the air, not actually levitating, and that eyewitnesses simply exaggerated what they saw. You see what I mean? You see what I mean, my fellow traveler? Anyone convinced that miracles can't possibly happen will always be able to imagine natural explanations for everything, even if those explanations are sometimes quite a stretch. another thing. Materialists love to shoot down miraculous claims simply because they resemble magic tricks or run afoul of this or that scientific theory, or because they can be chalked up as mere coincidence. But most of the time, those arguments don't hold water. For example, I don't know if St. Joseph of Cupertino did or didn't actually levitate, but I do know you can't claim it's impossible or that he faked it just because clever magicians can fake levitation. Think of Moses confronting the Pharaoh. Remember that? Pharaoh's magicians were able to duplicate some of Moses' miracles. But that didn't mean Moses himself was faking it. Similarly, I don't know if the Lady of Zaitun was a genuine appearance of the Virgin Mary or not. But I do know you can't claim it's impossible just because it defies modern science. Theories come and go on a regular basis, my friend, and very often what once seemed impossible suddenly, woohoo, becomes quite possible. Just look at the history of science. Likewise, I don't know if little Luke Burgee's cure was miraculous or not, but I do know you can't claim it's impossible just because there's a tiny, tiny, tiny possibility that his cure happened by coincidence right when the nuns finished praying for him. Now, to be crystal clear, as a scientist, I favor natural explanations whenever possible, okay? Offering natural explanations for natural phenomena is what the scientific method is all about. But, and listen carefully, also as a scientist, I'm more keenly aware than the average person that natural explanations have their limits. Ever since the discovery of modern physics, what now passes for natural scientific explanations are, in fact, increasingly supernatural. I explain this in Journey number 99 and elsewhere, so be sure to check that out. One last thing, all right? Back when I was a grad student at Cornell, one of my professors, Carl Sagan, he was an astronomer, was fond of saying that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Even today, I hear a lot of people parroting that same catchy phrase, and it is a catchy phrase, I'll be honest with you. In truth, however, all claims, listen to me, all claims, be they mundane, mysterious, or miraculous, require just one thing, my friend, evidence. All right? Not mundane evidence or mysterious evidence or miraculous evidence or extraordinary evidence. Just good old reliable evidence. Please, please remember that. Don't be taken in by that catchy phrase. I don't want to hear you saying that. All right? I'll be very disappointed. All right. And while you're at it, my friend, don't forget two other things, okay? First, the best definition of miracle is that it's something that's what? Truly amazing, baffling, and celestial. And second, the best way to decide if a miraculous claim satisfies that definition is this. Follow the example of the Vatican's Dicastery. Investigate a miraculous claim thoroughly. Don't jump to conclusions. Investigate it thoroughly with a skeptical mind. What does that mean? It's a mind that's not closed. It's a mind that's open to the possibility that the claim is really only mundane. I know. Disappointing, but yeah, that's a possibility. But also, a mind that's open to the possibility that not just the claim, but the entire cosmos is, in fact, a 100% 24-karat gold bona fide miracle. Okay, that's it for now. Remember, this podcast is not a lecture series. It's a conversation. So now it's your turn. Comments? Questions? I'm eager to hear from you. There's all kinds of ways you can connect up with me via my social media links in the show notes below. Till next time, I'm still Dr. G saying, I love science, I love God, I also love you, my fellow traveler. Thanks for listening.